places is that he quoted a lot of Old Testament scriptures in the New Testament. And really, the New Testament explains the Old Testament. And there are scriptures in the Old Testament that I could never have understood if God's Holy Spirit had not quoted them in the New Testament so that you could tell what it meant as it was defined in the New Testament. This is one of them. Isaiah 49:11. I'm going through this on our website, preaching through the 49th chapter, the 50th chapter, the 51st chapter, and then I'm presenting them here in the church on Sunday mornings. I find Isaiah to be the most interesting book in the Old Testament. Servant Israel glorifies God by Jesus. Isaiah 49:11. I will make all my mountains a way. My highways shall be exalted. In the Old Testament, they didn't have the equipment to bore through mountains and make tunnels. They didn't have the equipment to fill in valleys and level them off like they do now when they build houses. So to the Old Testament people, a mountain was an obstacle. I will make all my mountains a way. They were an obstacle. And so there wasn't any way except to go over the top of them. Sometimes they were too tall. And my highway shall be exalted. Sometimes down in a deep valley, as you traveled along a deep valley, it went up and down. And it in itself was a barrier. Because if you came to a deep valley, you had to go all the way down to the bottom and all the way up the other side. So it was an obstacle. And they looked upon deep valleys and high mountains as obstacles. So God said he was going to do something to make the way to him easier for all men. Under the law and in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel had a difficult time. And their lives were marred by uncertainty and a belief that the Messiah would come, but they had never seen him. And there were some very deep valleys, and there were some very high mountains. When it came to understanding what it was that God was going to do to save all mankind. But God, when Christ came, took care of all that. He made it easier for all men, both Jew and Gentile, to be saved. Verse 11, 49:11, is well defined by Isaiah 9 chapters earlier. It means that he will level the way to salvation to all men by making valleys through any mountains that might act as obstacles to those others than Jews. The New Testament is a better testament. The old one was perfect, but it was not understandable. And God has removed any obstacle that would make it difficult for a person to understand how he would deliver them through his Son, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. It means that he will level the way to salvation to all men by making valleys through any mountains that might act as obstacles to those others than Jews, and will lift up the depths of any valleys that might block light from the Gentiles who could see the glorious light of Messiah shining over the steep rims of the valley walls. How do I know that's what that means? Because this scripture is quoted in the New Testament. Isaiah 43:5. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. Now this is Isaiah explaining in Isaiah 43:5 what he meant. in Isaiah 49:11, when he said, I will make all my mountains away and my highways shall be exalted. You and I don't have any excuse. The Messiah has appeared. He has lifted the valleys so the light could come in. They are no longer an obstacle. He has torn away any mountain, any obstacle that would stop us from being saved or make it difficult to understand. And anyone who ends up in hell from this generation of the New Testament could have no possible excuse before God. Then he quotes himself. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough place is plain. How do I know this is referring to the coming of Jesus? And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And he was revealed in the person of the man Christ Jesus. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. When Jesus came, there was no obstacle that acted like a mountain that could prevent you from coming to him or could make it difficult to understand that he was the Savior who wanted to save you. And the valleys were exalted. There's no deep valley that you have to pass through. You merely have to come to a person. And the mountains and the deep valleys have been removed as an obstacle. And now we have the Old Testament explained by the New. How do I know this is referring to Jesus Christ in Isaiah 43:5? And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's no obstacle. There isn't a mountain between you and God. There isn't a deep valley between you and God. There's only Jesus, who removed any obstacle that stood in your way and made it possible for you to receive him as Savior and believe that he and he alone is the full propitiation for all your sins, past, present, and future, and that when you come to Jesus, you have the absolute assurance that he will save you. No obstacle between you and Jesus now. Not a high mountain or a deep valley. No obstacle. He's there, and either you come to him or you do not. God has explained the Old Testament by the New, and now we stand defenseless before God if we do not receive his Son as our Savior, which were born not of the will of the flesh. The flesh doesn't profit anything. This new birth is not something that the flesh generates, nor the will of man. Nor was it the will of the flesh of man that went into baptismal waters or worked real hard to try to please God. There is no obstacle between you and the Lord. Good works are not an obstacle between you and the Lord. Baptism is not an obstacle between you and the Lord. He has made all things plain, and it is a level playing field between you and Jesus, and you have no excuse for not receiving it. He said back in Isaiah 43:5, when he talked about these mountains and valleys, he said, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. John tells us when it happened. In John 1:14. And the Word, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And all flesh shall see it all together. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Now, there he is. No mountain between you and him. No deep valley between you and him. Nothing to pass through to get to him. Just him. And when you come to him, he does something from it for you. And we beheld his glory, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, unmerited favor after unmerited favor. Not only has he saved me, but he has assured me I will be saved and his forever. And I can confess my sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive them. and he is my eternal Savior, and he has given me eternal life. The only obstacle that existed between me and God, and that exists between you and God, is your own stubborn will. And until you acknowledge that you're helpless, you have no way to save yourself or to keep yourself, and you simply come to Jesus asking him to save you, you never will understand what grace is until you receive it. It's unmerited favor. For the law was given by Moses. The law was given at Sinai. It itself was a great mountain. God gave the law so that men would come to the obstacle and they would realize, I can't go over this mountain. I can't go over this obstacle. I can't do it. And the law was a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ, that they might be justified by faith. But instead of admitting to God they couldn't climb the mountain, they tried to climb it, and they could not. And they kept on climbing and finally believed that they could. The law was a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ, and very few found it. They would come to the law, they would try to keep it, they would fail. They would come to a deep valley in their life, or in the law, or in their ability to keep it. And instead of crying out to God, we can't go down that far and come up that far, which is what God wanted, for them to put their faith in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, they tried to cross the valley. And they kept on trying, and they kept on trying, until they finally convinced themselves that they had. But now we don't have that excuse. Now Messiah has been manifested, and grace and truth has come by Jesus Christ. I hope every one of you here this morning knows Christ as your Savior. And if you don't, I hope you'll very carefully consider what I'm showing you, because it comes from the living Word of God. John the Baptist was the messenger who came announcing Messiah, that the obstacles were removed. John the Baptist was the messenger who came announcing Messiah had arrived to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant and to bring in the promised kingdom. And Jesus Christ was the messenger of that covenant, that promise, the new covenant, the old covenant, the new testament, the new covenant, who came to his temple to sit on his throne as David. But both the messenger, John, who was beheaded, and the messenger of the covenant, Jesus, who was crucified, both of them were rejected. Malachi 3:1. Behold, I will send my messenger, John the Baptist, and he shall prepare the way before me, before the messenger of the covenant, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. He came to his temple and suddenly began to cleanse it. And finally he said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. You shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, at the end of his ministry that lasted more than 3 years. Behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, Jesus Christ, whom you delight in. They delighted in a coming Messiah who would bring them great material prosperity and wealth, not in a Messiah who would save their souls. They thought they could save their own souls. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts, and he did. Isaiah 49:11. And I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. Jesus took away every obstacle that any human being could possibly have, that stood between them and God. Whether it was a deep valley that had to be exalted, lifted up, or whether it was a high mountain that had to be leveled, whatever the obstacle, the Lord removed it. Isaiah 43:5. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, John the Baptist, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a pathway for our Lord. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath proclaimed this. Messenger John announced him. Christ came to remove all obstacles that might block the way of salvation to God by faith in him as the Christ, the Messiah. Luke confirms this in the following scriptures as by quoting from Isaiah 43:5. How do I know what I'm telling you about this valley and mountain thing is true? I'm going to show it to you in the New Testament. Luke 43:5. You don't have to have any doubts about this. Luke 3:4-9. As it is written in the book of Isaiah the prophet, he even quoted it. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled up, exhausted, exalted, to where it's leveled. No obstacle anymore. It's a way. You can pass now. And, quoting from the New Testament, from Luke, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. Isaiah quoted in the New Testament. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? They were trying to fulfill the law. They were trying to obtain their own salvation, so that when Messiah came, he would accept them for their works, establish himself as the king of Israel, and bring in a material physical kingdom in whom they would all have great prosperity and wealth and peace. He knew why they were coming, many of them. He called them vipers, snakes. He says, bring forth therefore words worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to be our father. Why was the law given? It was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. You know what I learned from it? The law, the commandments of God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy might and all thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I tell you what I learned. I learned repentance. I learned what Paul learned. There is no good thing in me. I learned that the law is spiritual. It's perfect. But I'm carnal, sold under sin. I've come to repentance. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I've done what Paul said by the Spirit of God, testifying both to the Jew and to the Greek, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't need repentance. They thought they were living a life that when Messiah came, Messiah would justify them and they would be his subjects in a kingdom based on their good works and their keeping the law. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. They were circumcised in the flesh, in the foreskin, and they were the descendants of Abraham. And they thought their natural physical birth and their natural physical acts would justify them before God. And I stand here this morning and tell you that right now, all over this country, meeting in buildings just like this, are churches made up of people who believe that they must work in the flesh either to please God to be accepted or to continue to be accepted. And I tell you, that is a blasphemy against God, and it is a lie. You want to work for God? You come to Jesus repenting of what you are, acknowledging you have no way to save yourself, and trust in him to save you. When he does, and he comes to live in you, then you do those good works. Then you submit to baptism. Then you do all those things. But don't try to justify yourself before God by your own character and your own good works and your own personality. It won't work. And you don't have any excuse anymore. The mountain's been leveled. The valley's been lifted up. We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into fire. A rich young ruler came to Jesus. He said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There is none good save the Father. Paul said, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. There was the only good man who ever lived on this earth, born perfect, died perfect, a good man. Do you know why I can produce good works, good fruit? Because that man is in me. Do you know what that man tries to get me to do? What his word says. Do you know if I do it, who gets the credit? He does. Part of it? All of it. I'm just an instrument, a tool, that's a sinful instrument that God cleansed and made whole. I have no power of my own. But I tell you without hesitation that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I'm telling you, when this life is over, everything that I ever did that God accepted, that man living in me did it. But if you try to do good works, and justify yourself before God without being born again, without Him in you doing it, none of them are acceptable to God. So make sure you know Him, because you have no excuse anymore. The mountain's been leveled, the valley's been lifted up. What a tragedy that Israel still rejects Him today, and the vast majority of Gentiles, ever growing in number, are doing the same in these twilight days of the age of Gentiles. What a tragedy that this last generation of the Gentile age is an even worse generation of vipers than was Israel when they rejected their Messiah. At least they tried to keep the standards of law and would not admit to themselves they were sinners. But we live in a society that is literally ridden with people who don't give a rip about the law of God. They hate it. They despise it. They want to destroy it. This generation is in much worse shape than Israel was before Jesus came the first time. And I warn you that His coming is not very far away. They are rejecting the repeating warning of the wrath that is to come for their rejection of the same Messiah that Israel rejected. The wrath of God is going to be poured out on these people who have no sense of godliness, having a form of godliness, but not godliness. Israel as a nation continues in unbelief, and the Gentiles are fast approaching that same condition. This world is in the most ungodly shape it has ever been since the flood. Personally, I now think it's worse, but who am I? That's merely an opinion on my part. Romans 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Israel has been blind. They grow blinder. Soon they're going to be attacked from the north, and soon they're going to be driven to the Negev. And there in the Negev, they will finally repent. They will finally put their faith in a coming Messiah on the blowing of the seventh trumpet. 1 Thessalonians 5:4. Listen, every mountain's been removed. Every valley's been lifted up. Who did it? Jesus. He tore down the obstacles between you and God, whether it be a mountain or a deep valley. 1 Thessalonians 5:4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. You know why you're not in darkness? Because you came to the light. Have you ever come to the light? There's no mountain between you and the light. There's no deep valley. There's just the light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. If you've never thrown up in your hands in surrender before Him, and acknowledge that you cannot go to heaven through anything you could ever do, and you put all your faith in the fact that Jesus did it all for you, and put your trust in His body hanging alone on the cross for your sins. Believe He's alive, resurrected from the dead, and have enough faith, enough trust to ask Him to save you. You're not in darkness, and that day should not overtake you as a thief. And if you are in darkness, there's only one way to come out. Come to the light. Come to Jesus Christ. Trust Him to save you from what you are by nature and birth, a sinner. And then let God have His way in your life. Not to be saved, but because you are saved by trusting in Christ as the light of God. When Jesus came, He came to the nation of Israel. He said so several times. And He came and offered them the kingdom of God. A lot of people think the kingdom of God in heaven, they're all the same thing. They aren't. Everybody that's saved goes to heaven. You think nobody was saved before Jesus came? Lots of people were saved. Lots of people were saved when He came. Before He came. When He was here. That's what salvation is. It makes you a child of God by grace through faith. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Never turns His back on you. But Jesus came offering Israel those who would be saved and put their faith in him, he came to them offering a kingdom that was established long before he came. The kingdom offer is made to those who are saved. I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. The kingdom of God is where the king positions himself. In the millennial reign, he will position himself in Jerusalem, in physical Jerusalem. During the age that follows the heaven age, he will position himself in a heavenly city, three-fifths the size of the United States, that comes down on the earth, a spiritual city. That's where the kingdom of God is. I've been saved for 60 years. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to be on the new earth. I'm going to be on the millennial earth. I'm going to have a glorified body by grace through faith alone. But he preached the kingdom of God. He preached it to the cities of Israel. He didn't preach it to the Gentiles. He preached it to the cities of Israel. He said, "For unto them am I sent." And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. He offered them the kingdom. They refused it. He made me an offer of the kingdom after I was saved. He made the same offer to the first New Testament church after they were saved and scripturally baptized. In John 6, 63. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." If they were already in the kingdom, why seek it? He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You want to live in that city where Jesus lives? You want to live in Jerusalem during the millennial reign in a glorified body? You want to live in a glorified body in the heaven age? You want to be where the king positions himself? Are you satisfied to be in a glorified body on the present day earth? And satisfied with that, without being in the immediate presence of Jesus Christ? You may be. I don't know. That's between you and God. But I know this. He offered the kingdom to them after they were saved and scripturally baptized. And he preached to the Jews. But now the offer is made to all men, both Jew and Gentile. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. But the hour cometh, and now is. Jesus said the hour is in the future. He told the woman at the well, but he said right now it's true. Right then, the church had been organized during Jesus' earthly ministry. Jesus was among them. And the church was functioning. You want to be positioned where the king positions himself? In Jerusalem, in the millennium, and the final heaven age? You better get in one of God's churches. You better be baptized. And you better try to serve God in it. If you're satisfied with going to heaven, having a glorified body, that's between you and God. But Jesus organized the church during his earthly ministry. And after you're saved, that kingdom offer is extended to you. And you're the one who decides where you live in heaven by what you do after you're saved. "When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Lord seeketh such to worship him." That was the first New Testament church that was with him. Jesus said, "In whom ye also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit." God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can't worship him on your own terms. You've got to worship him on his terms. There is a difference between the kingdom of God and heaven. Heaven is a place where all the saved go. The kingdom of God is a place in heaven where the king dwells. I want to be in that place where the king dwells. I would be perfectly happy to be outside the city. I would not be in any pain or agony. I'd have a wonderful time. But I want to be where the king is. That's something you have to make up your own mind about. And you will. And you have to make it up in this lifetime. 1 Timothy 3:15. If we're going to worship the Father in spirit and in truth, we're going to have to do it his way. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." That's the house of the living God. It was the temple in Jesus' day. Now it's the local church. You ought to know how to behave yourself in the house of God, because it is the church of the living God. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. This church is built on truth. It's based on truth. It's based on the teaching of Jesus. It's based on the teaching of the New Testament. We adhere to it. We believe it. We don't change it. We don't modify it. We don't compromise it. We do just like it says, because the King is among us, and we want to be a part of His kingdom. Hebrews 10, 21, 25. And having a high priest over the house of God, which is the church of the living God, pillar and ground of truth, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Your heart has to be sprinkled with the blood of Christ, which gives you an answer of a good conscience toward God. And while baptism doesn't save you, we're told that it does give you the answer of a good conscience toward God. And the Holy Spirit bothers you all the time because you aren't. And our body is washed with pure water, that He might sanctify and cleanse them with the washing of water by the Word. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. You don't have to worry about whether or not Jesus is faithful. Are you faithful? And let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ offers salvation to all men. And all men, the moment they trust in Jesus Christ, are saved. And yes, all men and women that trust in Christ have the indwelling Spirit of Almighty God living in them. Yes, Christ indwells every believer. Yes, He keeps every believer. Yes, every believer is going to heaven. That is the family of God. But God extends an offer to every one of His children that come into the family of God. Is that all you want? Or do you love me? Do you care for me? Do you want to be in my immediate presence in heaven? Do you want to be where I position myself? If you do, you need to position yourself in one of His local churches that teaches and preaches the truth, because that's where Christ has positioned Himself. You need to think about that. If you've never come to Jesus, you come this morning. There is no mountain. There is no deep valley. You come, and Jesus will save you. He's removed every obstacle. Whatever it is that He's bothering you about, the obstacle's removed. You just come trusting Jesus, and He'll take care of all the rest. As the lights are turned on,